You are clapping as if you are in the village. The Lord bless everyone. And make this day, the Lord's day, a special day in your life.
Amen.
Father, we thank you and bless your name. Great God, glorious God, merciful God, loving God, compassionate God. Lord, we pray that here today and everywhere where we're connected to worship you in spirit and in truth, we're asking, Lord, everyone will escape the coming great tribulation over this world. And we're praying that our worship here will not end here. You'll prepare us for heaven at last. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Good Liberian, amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're talking about the glorious escape. The message today is the glorious escape of the righteous. You can already tell from a Bible reading today, Matthew chapter 24, what Jesus said, that there's a great tribulation coming. And he shows us the way to escape. In Luke chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 34. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves. He was going to talk about something serious, something of great value. A great event, the destruction to come, the damnation to come, the disruption of the peace of the whole world. He was going to talk about how you prepare yourself, your sage, how you prepare yourself with the experience of a heaven recognized sanctification, holiness, that you prepare yourself so that you will escape that great, terrible period coming. And so he says, take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And then he says, and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Then in verse 35, it says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. When the great tribulation comes, when that great destruction comes, it will come upon the whole wide world. It will reach here, it will reach there, it will reach the whole of Africa and Asia and America and Europe, and it will come unawares on all people on the earth. Why? Because they were not expecting that such a thing will ever happen on earth. And then in verse 36, it says, now watch ye therefore. Therefore, because the problem is coming, because that tribulation is coming, because that time of worldwide suffering is coming, therefore, it says, watch and pray, so that always, it says, we pray now, we pray next day, we pray until he comes. What's the prayer? the prayer for readiness for that day to come, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape. Look at that. That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come upon the earth, all the tribulation, all the destruction, all the devastation that will come upon the earth. He says, so that you will stand before the Son of Man. I pray you'll be worthy. I pray you will escape. I pray that that deluge, that destruction, that devastation, that tribulation coming upon the whole world will not catch you here. You will escape. But it says, if you are going to escape, you must watch, you must pray. Pray always, get ready. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I read from verse 1. It says in verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, for yourselves know. You've been coming to church, you've been hearing the word of God, you've been reading the Bible. Therefore, you know that that day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It will come unannounced. It will come suddenly. It will come certainly. And it says, it comes as a thief in the night. Look at verse 3. In verse 3 it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, when they shall say, everybody say, no problem, there's peace, there's safety, as it was yesterday, so it is today, and so it will ever be. And then the event will come and prove all those self-deceivers, he'll prove them as liars. It says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Look at this. And as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Those who are not preparing, they might come to church, they might go to fellowship, they might carry Bible, and they might even say, I am saved. But they're not watching, they're not praying, they're not preparing. So that day will come and they shall not escape. I will escape. You will escape. It begins with having the knowledge. Because when God told Noah that the flood was coming, he wanted him to prepare himself, prepare his family, and prepare everyone who cares to listen. The same thing Christ now has warned us. He has said the great tribulation, great trouble, great devastation is coming upon the whole world. And he says, watch, pray always, so that that day will not come upon you unawares. That's why we're looking at the word this morning, the glorious escape of the righteous. May the Lord make you worthy. Three things we're looking at Number one is the present escape and transformation at regeneration. That's where it begins. When you come to Christ and your sins are forgiven, you come to Christ and you're set free from sin. You come to Christ and there is a recreation, a regeneration, a renewal of your soul, of your spirit, of your life, of your inner life. And there is regeneration that the present day escape and transformation at the time of regeneration. Look at number two. Number two is the pleasing, pleasant escape and translation of the righteous. As I come to Enoch, righteous, Elijah, righteous, and then those of us who are here today, already there's a translation from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of his dear son. At the present time, a pleasant, a pleasing escape and translation of the righteous. Look at number three. Number three is the promised escape. He has promised us, he has promised you, he has promised me, we can escape. We must escape. We will escape. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Number three, the promised escape before the tribulation at the rapture. The Bible teaches, the New Testament in particular, emphasizes the race, the time of the rapture. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. And we who are alive will be caught up together with them, and will be with him in the clouds, and then we go to heaven. And he says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's the promised escape before the tribulation at the rapture. Let's start from number one. Number one, we're looking at the present escape. The present escape and transformation at regeneration. Look at the word of God here. It tells us in John chapter 5, reading from verse 24, the present escape. The present escape and transformation at regeneration. In John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, verily, verily, certainly, certainly, undoubtedly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, it says, he has everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation. The present escape is from condemnation, from damnation, from the guilt of the sin you have committed. And it says, and but is passed from death unto life. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the sentence of death that should have been upon your life, it says, because you believe him unto life eternal, you pass from death unto life. You escape spiritual death. You escape the natural death in sinfulness that had been upon man. And you escape from death and come unto life. Life eternal. Life everlasting. Life, the very life of Christ comes in your life. It tells us in 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 14. First John chapter 3, reading from verse 14, it says, we know those who are born again. We know those who have been transformed. We know those who have been regenerated. We know that we have passed from death unto life. It's a personal experience. It is a present experience. It is a proven experience that you knew you were dead in sins and trespasses, but now you have come to Christ and you come to God through Christ, and now we know because the Spirit of God bears witness with our heart that we are forgiven, that we are regenerated, that our lives have been transformed and change, and we can testify without any shade of lie, because we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. If there's hatred in your heart, you have not passed from death unto life. If there is a kind of animosity in your heart, you have not passed from the hatred. You have not passed from the animosity. You have not passed away from the malice. I'm saved, I'm saved. I have got this malice in your heart. I'm saved, I'm saved. I have got the angry words coming out of your mouth. It says, we know we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother, his sister, abideth in death. No matter how loud your testimony of salvation is, he that does not love his brother, which brother? Your husband, your sister, your wife, your child, your father. He who does not love his pastor, who shows him the way to heaven, who shows him that without holiness, you will not see the Lord, is trying to help you, is trying to prepare you for glory. And then because of holiness, because of sanctification, and because of pouring his life unto you, on your life, that you must be holy. Don't just stay in religion. Didn't you hear our singer there? That if you say, I go to church, I pay my tithe, I give offering, and all that. He said, if you are not born again, you're deceiving yourself. And your preacher comes to unfold the word of God unto you, so that you not be deceiving yourself in religion. And because of that, if you hate him, if you're angry against him, is saying you are not born again. Because he that loveth not his brother, her husband, his wife, his pastor, and his neighbor, abideth in death. In verse 15, and it says in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Not a Christian, is a murderer. Not a disciple of Christ, is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we, hereby know we, hereby understand, we understand, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at that. That's how we have regeneration. That's how we have a renewal of our heart. That's why how we have a change of life. That now we lay down our very lives for the brethren. How can I do that? Your life is your time. You lay down your time for your spouse. How do we do that? Your money is your life. You lay down your money to take care of your spouse. Your gift, your talent that your brother doesn't have, that you have, that is your life. You lay down that gift. Not just I surrender it to Jesus, you surrender it for the salvation of your neighbor. You lay it down for the spiritual growth of your brother, of your sister, and you lay it down for the joy and the happiness of your wife and your husband. It is that shows you have the practical proving love of God. It is that change of heart, that change of life, that shows that you have regeneration and that you have the present escaping from the judgment to come. And look at 2 Peter there, chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we're looking at verse 3. It says, in verse 3, it says, according as his divine power. You know, salvation is not by the human power. There are people that try to turn over a new leaf by, you know, I know that. All you can do is change externally, but their heart will still remain the way their heart is. They're watching me. I mustn't do that. All that is external. When nobody is watching you, when that divine power comes upon your life and you're totally changed on the inside, that's the salvation that Christ died for. That is the salvation he comes to give us. He says, according to his divine power, he has given unto us. He has given unto us. He has given unto us. Calvary tells it all. Christ shows it all. And the real experience of salvation proves it all, that he has given unto us all things that pertain, all things that are of him, godliness and life, life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. He has called us to glory and virtue. You say that with me. He has called us to glory and virtue. Say it again. Now, instead of us, me. Everything you do to the glory of God. You talk to your neighbor to the glory of God. You interact with your neighbor to the glory of God. You interact with your seniors to the glory of God. You interact with your dad, with your mom, to the glory of God. You interact with your principal, your teacher, to the glory of God. You interact with the pastor of the church you attend, to the glory of God. What you do in secret, what you do in the public, everything you do, if you're born again, otherwise you are not born again. Don't deceive yourself. It says he has called us to glory and to virtue. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. That's what salvation does. The first birth, the natural birth, the one that gives you your kind of chronological birthday, that you say, I was born such and such a day. That one gives us human nature. That one gives us animal nature. That one gives us the beastly nature. When you are born in the natural, and then you take after men and women, boys and girls and people around you, that one, you have the human nature. It's the human nature that fights, the human nature that is violent, is the human nature that deceives, is the human nature that plans to destroy other people. But now, the time of regeneration comes. The time of repentance, salvation in the Lord comes. And he says, by these promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Look at this, look at this. Having escaped. Thank God I escaped. Thank God you escaped. You escaped from all the characters of the people on the street. You escaped from all the bad, evil things we read that some people do. Once they have a little power, a little authority, and a little, they have a little weapon in their hand whereby they can torment their neighbor. Because they have the human nature, and because they have the natural thing there, that instrument they use, they have in their hand, they have to use it to hurt their neighbor. But when you are saved, when you're born again, when that regeneration takes place in your life, it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, will escape in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's why we're here. This is a GCK that is devoted and designed for us to escape. And after this day, I pray the proven experience of real escape will emerge from your life in Jesus' name. Another amen. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 12. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Our salvation is not something to gamble with. Our salvation is not something to take for granted. I'm saved, I'm standing, that's good, that's all right. But take heed lest you fall. Other people got their salvation before you. Did they all stand till the end? No. That's why it's saying, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then in verse 13, there has been no temptation taking you. Temptation will come. The temptation to go back to the old life, it will come. The temptation to go back to the drunkenness or the drinking, it will come. The temptation to go back to the hard drugs you left, it will come. The temptation to go back to the nightclubs, all that temptation will come, and it comes to everybody. But it says that there has no temptation taking you, come to you, than but such as is common to all men. in common to men. But it says that God is faithful. My God is faithful. Your God is faithful. Before the temptation comes, he saw it coming. Maybe you are just, you know, like this, like that. You didn't see anything coming. But God saw it before it came. And while it arrives at your doorstep, the temptation now has come. And God is faithful. He will help you. He will sustain you. It says that who will not allow you, suffer you to be tempted more than ye are able. But look at this. But he will make, he will, I said, he will with that temptation also make a way to if the temptation comes and you do not escape, it's not because there's no way to escape. You are looking in the direction of the tempter. You are looking away from Jesus, from God, who makes the way of escape. If the temptation comes and grabs you and knocks you down, and every good thing you've got is shaking away from your life, it's not because there's no way of escape. It's because you're looking at the temptress that came to tempt you. The Delilah took all your attention, and the God of heaven is not visible to you. That's why. But when you're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, he'll make a way for you that you will be able to bear it. Yeah. Able. Yeah. If you have saved, the ability, divine nature, divine power to make you escape, able, it's inside there. And if you are sanctified and the Adamic nature is taken away, if you are sanctified and there is the circumcision of your heart, if you are sanctified and the magnet that normally magnetizes attracts temptation, if the magnet has been removed, there's a greater ability for you, and you escape in Jesus' name. Yeah. I'm a preacher. No, not because you're a preacher. I know preachers who preach, and they preach good doctrine. Thank God for them. I know preachers who quote the Bible as much as I do. Sometimes they quote it more than I do. Yet, although they impact the lives of other people, their own lives, they don't remember what they preach when temptation comes to them. They don't remember what they emphasize when their own temptation comes. And they don't take the virtue and the glory and the spiritual instrument that they have prophesied, proclaimed in the lives of other people when their own challenge comes. That's why you hear that one is falling. That one is falling. Not that they didn't know the scripture. They know it on the pulpit. They don't know it in their private lives. But you will know it in the public. You will know it in the private. You'll know it when you're preaching to others. You'll know it when you're preaching to yourself. And every temptation that comes after this time, the enablement to escape, you will escape. Amen. Look at verse 14 there. In verse 14, it says very clearly, it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from any sin that becomes an idol to you. You love that sin so much that even though you know the truth, you have idolized that thing. Some people idolize money. And when that money is beckoning on them, it's an idol for them. They cannot hear God. Some people idolize the old sin partner. And when that sin partner comes dangling and dancing and rolling their eyes, they idolize that Delilah, that adulterous woman. Other people idolize the sin partner man who had been with them in the past. And when that man comes dangling whatever, their idol has come. But you will flee from every idol. Some people, whatever they see in the social media, and somebody is calling them and is saying, you'll get this, you'll get this. And the fellow might be a boy, but he's supposed to be like a girl, beautiful. And he's showing a kind of face on the Facebook. And he's showing it in, through all the things, the pictures they sent to them. And they cannot escape that. And they cannot receive that, because that person over there, actually, he just wants to destroy you. He wants you to steal your daddy's money and send to him. He wants you to, even if possible, cross over. And over there is going to waste your life. But some people, they cannot resist that idol. But it says, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You will flee. Look at your amen. You know, so some people, I trust myself. That's a great mistake. I know myself. That's your great mistake. And anyone that will try me to lure into there, to lure me into that, I know myself. And then they wait there, and the idols pull them down. Idols will not pull you down. Yeah. You know, Joseph was walking innocently in the house, and Potiphar's wife had been saying, young man, what are you looking at? I want to have something with you. And Joseph said, no, people like us who have been touched, transformed by the Lord, people like us who have a dream, people like us that are going to the mountaintop of my dream, we don't do things like that. But the woman did not give up. And one day, Joseph was there walking in the house, and there was nobody there except Joseph and the woman. And the woman said, today, if you don't do it voluntarily, you'll do it by force. And held Joseph's cloth. Did Joseph overcome? Yes. Did Joseph fall to that idol woman? No. What did he do? Yes. Tell me. Me, do part of the preaching. Preach back to me. What did Joseph do? He fled. And Joseph did not say, I know myself. I'm sure of myself. He would have fallen right there. He would have gone to prison legitimately, legally. He would have died in that prison. All the dreams of yesteryears would have been forgotten. But the Lord preserved the dreamer, and the Lord preserved the dreamer because he fled. You will flee from every solicitation to evil. Every temptation to sinfulness. Let's come to point number two now. Point number two is the pleasing escape and translation of the righteous. Look at the word of God as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading here from verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated. Thank God for a big church. Thank God for this great crowd. You have somebody on your right here. By the grace of God, is living right. You have somebody on your left there. By the grace of God, she's living right. What an encouragement. By the grace of God, you have somebody in front of you. You have somebody at your back. And they're living according to the word of God. Praise the Lord for the encouragement, for the support we have with the people who are living right. Thank God your husband is there. Thank God your wife is there and your wife is living according to the word she has heard. Your husband living according to the word he has heard. Your children, your child is in the youth choir, is in the children's choir. Your child is an encouragement. When you have family devotion in the morning and you tell that boy, that girl to read the scriptures today and to explain and preach to the family. My, look at a young preacher there. Thank God, we have people around us who are doing well. Stay with them. Abide with them. Even if they make a little mistake here and there, stay with them. The good encouragement for you to always escape. And you will escape. Enoch had nobody around him. To the right, nobody living holy. To the left, nobody living holy. To the front, to the back, nobody. Enoch alone, I'm sorry to say, his wife. Thank God for your own wife. You are not thanking God like me. Thank God for your husband. You have what Enoch did not have. A partner that will pray with him. A partner that will share the word of God with him. A partner that will support him at the time of temptation. A partner that will be there watching, encouraging him when all the neighbors, when they look down on him. Enoch did not have such a person. Somebody is saying, if I have somebody like the pastor preaching by my side here, and in my front, at my back, I look like this, and I can see him, and we're all together. Pastor, why don't you relocate and come to our country, Liberia, so that you'll be there all the time? But Jesus, greater than any preacher, is always with you. Yeah. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, so that you may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because God will be your present help every time. Now, Enoch did not have any human being that, you know, encouraged him and prayed with him as a prayer partner, yet by faith, solitary faith. Yet by faith, solid faith. Yet by faith, steadfast faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Amen. Amen. And it says, and he was not found because God had translated him. But for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. If God helped Enoch, the Lord will help you. when you are bottled into a corner, and then the barrage of burden, temptation, trial, opposition, criticism, name calling. And when they show you your picture to the world as if it should be a despised person, and you look around, you cannot find anybody, God will support you. God will sustain you. God will uphold you. You will not turn back. You will not fall down. You will not give in to any pressure from any direction. He was not found because God took him and because he pleased God. Then it says in verse 6, it says, but without faith, solid faith, without faith, standing faith, without faith, steadfast faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The works of our hand, without faith, are not pleasing. The fasting that we do, without faith, will not please him. Going to the mountain, going to the valley, exercising and spending all your money so that I'll be there, I can build this, I can build that. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's like you see the invisible is there by your side every time. He sees every action. He hears, he listens to every conversation. He follows you everywhere. And his guardian angels are all around you. And those guardian angels, they'll not allow you to dash your foot against a stone. Before any bad thing happens, they are there. They lift you up. And that is the faith we have in God. Because it says we believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As you're seeking the Lord diligently with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you're not a forgetful hearer, you're not an haphazard listener. Diligently, you say, everything the Heavenly Father has sent unto me through Jesus, his only begotten Son, I seek that diligently. You will find. Amen. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Amen. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and every door will be opened unto you. Because everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, the door will be opened unto you. And if ye being naturally evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall the Father who is in heaven give you good things today, amen, tomorrow, amen, all through your life. Amen. But we need that faith as we diligently seek the Lord. Then another person that went up like that, translated, we're looking at Second Kings. In Second Kings, we're looking at chapter 2. And we're reading from verse 5. Second Kings chapter 2. We're reading from verse 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, they came to Elisha, and they said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away your master from your head today. And he said, he answered, and know it, hold your peace. It was to be the time of the translation of Elijah. And look at verse 9. In verse 9, here we're told that as they went, Elijah now asked Elisha. It says, ask me what I shall do for you before I be taken away. And Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Elisha, why are you asking for a double portion? Well, Elijah is going. The problem, the pressure that used to come on both of us will come on me. And when he was here, by his endurance, by his prayer power, both of us were able to overcome. Now, I am going to face what both of us used to face. I need the double portion of his spirit. All that Elijah confronted, all those prophets of Baal, he confronted them. And Elisha was watching. Could I do that? If that confronted me, could I stand? Would I have the backbone to stand? I need a double portion. And he was saying that all these people that are giving themselves to idolatry, they're for the kill, and they'll come for me. And now Elijah will not be there as a prayer partner. I need a double portion. You need that double portion. Amen. I am saved. You need more. Amen. I am sanctified. You need more. Amen. You know the village you have come from? You know the challenges there? You know the traditionalists there? Apart from, you know, we're all here together and we're all well dressed and sitting in the sun, and you look brighter than I ever saw you. Amen. But we'll be going back to that office. We'll be going back to that place of work. We'll be going back to all those people that have, they think that the highest authority of the day. And they will kind of put their spell, their charm, their charcoal, their kind of bunch, lizard and cockroach, wrap it up. They'll put something on the chair there. Put something on the chair there. No worry if you have the double portion. Amen. I have the double portion. And it says, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions. That's why you need power. Serpents, scorpions, you need the double portion. And over every enemy, over the power of every enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You rest when you have that double portion. And as they went, so Elijah said, Elisha, I hear you. But you know, it doesn't come cheap. If you see me when I am taken up, it will be so. And then he told him the other side of the coin. If you don't, if your eyes are glued to an idol and you don't see me, it will not be so. And as they went, the chariots came and took Elijah to heaven. I said, took Elijah to heaven. Amen. We know there is heaven. Our salvation is not in vain. There is heaven. Our sanctification, holiness is not in vain. There is heaven. Took him to heaven. And then the mantle fell. The mantle will fall on you today. And he picked it up, wrapped it, got to Jordan. Now Elijah was no more there. And Elijah opened Jordan for the two of them to pass through. And now it's only Elisha. And what opened for the two to pass? Elisha said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he smote that river. And the same power that walked in Elijah walked in his life. Amen. I need to tell you, the same power, are you listening?
Yes.
The same power that you have seen walk in me when I pray, the same power will walk in your life. There is nothing I have done you will do. There is nothing I have overcome you will overcome. When you are all alone there by yourself and you say, "Christ died for me as he died for him, and Christ has enabled me, empowered me as he enabled my pastor," what you say after that time, "In the name of Jesus," heaven will stand at attention for you. And then Elijah went to heaven. And Christ, after he had instructed his disciples, Christ was taken up. And he saw him going to heaven. And the angels, two angels came and said, "You men of Galilee, why are you gazing up into heaven, into the sky? This same Jesus whom you have seen going up," translated, "he will come again. He will come again."
Yeah.
He'll be coming for you.
Yeah.
He'll be coming for you.
Yeah.
He will find you saved, sanctified, spirit-filled, standing, steadfast when he comes. He'll find me. I said he will find me. You say, "Pastor, how do you know he will find you?" Because when I finish preaching, I keep standing in faith. When I finish praying for other people, I don't say, you know, "God has healed and God has done that." When I finish praying for other people, I keep standing. And when you finish singing, you don't say, "I've sung, and what a beautiful song." By the way, our choir, I know that, you know, I think there are Liberians there are Ghanaians there, everybody in the choir, you inspired me. I don't know about other people. You inspired me this morning. I could almost, were it not for our time, I could have said, Uncle, sing that again. But you know, when we finish preaching, we keep on standing in faith. When we finish singing, we keep on standing in faith. That's the reason why when he comes, will find you faithful. We come to point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at the promised escape before the tribulation at the rapture. The rapture will take place before the great tribulation. And since by the grace of God you are promised him, you'll keep standing. And you're going to fulfill your promise by the grace of God. When that rapture takes place and the saints of God go marching in. Praise the Lord. I've been looking for every Liberian believer that was shared the word of God together here, and I will find you there.
Yeah.
Have you heard there have been mansions for us in heaven? Well, I cannot make the choice, but who knows? I'll be in this mansion and then the next mansion there. I say, that's you. I said, that's you. I said, yes. I say, are you from? Tell me. You say, yes. I say, so we're together, your mansion, my mansion, and we'll be together forever and ever and ever in Jesus' name. Rapture. What's the rapture? You know, we just say rapture, rapture, rapture. What's rapture? Our rapture is return of Christ for the saints. It's returning. In John chapter 14, reading from verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's one for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Look at verse 3, and it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye will be also. That the rapture, the return of Christ for his saints, to take the saints away. A is the appearance of Christ, our shepherd. In 1 John, he appears in 1 John chapter 3. Reading from verse 1, it says, behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called his sons, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Look at verse 3, verse 2. In verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that's the rapture, when he shall appear, it says, we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. Look at verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. The rapture is the return of Christ for the saints. The rapture is the appearance of Christ for the sons of God. And it says, when he appears, we will be like him. We'll speed there in the power of his coming in splendor, his coming. And when he comes in power and comes with power. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, reading here, in verse 16, it says, for we have not followed a cunningly devised fable, when we showed unto you, made known unto you, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are eyewitnesses of His majesty. He's coming in power, and that when He comes in power all over the world, that power will act like a magnet, and that person there, that person there, that person there, He'll take us all to heaven.
Amen.
Rapture. What's rapture? Rapture is translation of His church to heaven. When He comes, He takes us to heaven, catching us away. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 51. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 52. It says in verse 52, in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye. It says the last trumpet, the last trump, at the last trump. And it says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the rapture. We'll be changed by that power, and then He'll take us to heaven. You is the up calling, up catching of the saints to heaven. That's the rapture. When He comes and He catches us up to heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, which are dead and buried, and they sleep in the dust. It says they sleep in Jesus, while God bring with Him. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which remain, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not precede them, prevent them, hinder them which are asleep. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of an archangel, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then He tells us in verse 17, it says, then we which are alive, you'll be alive.
Amen.
Alive in Christ.
Amen.
Alive in salvation.
Amen.
Alive in the kingdom.
Amen.
Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and in the air. And so shall I ever, will you ever, all of us ever, with the Lord. What's the rapture? Is the up catching of the children of God, of the people of God. Look at R there. R is the resurrection of the righteous. We just read about that. That those who sleep, Those who are dead, when the trumpet shall sound, they will rise again. The resurrection of the righteous. It tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy. Those who have been saved before they died. Those who are righteous and they were recognized in heaven as righteous. Not a so-so righteousness. Not a make-believe righteousness. Not positional righteousness. Practical righteousness. It says, blessed and holy. You see that has part in that first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. Give me a good amen.
Yeah.
But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign. You will reign with him 1,000 years. What's the rapture? The rapture is escape. Escape from the great tribulation. Escape from the great tribulation. Because the rapture is going to take place before that great tribulation. Before the great tribulation comes. Just like before the flood came, Noah was saved, secured, already in the ark. Before the fire came on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and the daughters had already escaped. Before the great tribulation comes on this earth, you would have escaped.
Amen.
Escaped.
Amen.
Where are you there? Stand up there. It tells us in Luke chapter 21, and it says in verse 36, it says, watch therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come upon the world, and you'll stand before the Son of Man. Amen.
Amen.
I'm happy. I'm rejoicing with you. You have heard the word. And God will make the word effective, powerful in your life.
Amen.
Everything was spoken about. Every blessing was spoken about. That blessing will be upon your life right now.
Amen.
Blessings today.
Amen.
Blessings tomorrow.
Amen.
Blessings for the rest of your life.
Amen.
And then when the trumpet shall sound, the greatest of all blessings you will have.
Amen.
I will meet up there at the feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anything that will hinder you, lay everything down and say, Lord, grant me your grace. Grant me your power. Grant me your strength. I must escape. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. We'll call on our overseer from Ghana to lead us in prayer this time. Open your mouth. Talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am, here I am, here I am. Don't allow this time to pass you by.